passage today, and so that I can save my voice. And our text is from the Old Testament, Book of Jonah, chapter 4.
Before I read chapter 4, I'd like to go back just one sentence in chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that they had that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, Is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat at the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come over Jonah that it may be a shade over his head to save him from the discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many cattle?
Amen. Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, our God, now as we hear your word, would you please fill us with your spirit, soften our hearts, that we may delight in your presence, sharpen our minds, that we may discern your truth, shape our wills, that we may desire your ways. Please bless me so that I can be used by your hand, properly delivering your word to your people. We pray your son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a runny nose problem, so maybe you will see snipping and cleaning my nose. Sorry about that. Have you ever watched a famous TV program titled Man vs. Wild? Now, it's a TV program that plays on the Discovery Channel. Now, in the show, a man named Bear Grylls, I believe that's his full name, Bear, demonstrates and narrates techniques for wilderness survival in regions around the globe, everywhere, from ice fields, mountain ranges, and swamps, and deserts. Now, the general format of each episode is that Mr. Bear is dropped into the region, simulating a stranded explorer or a tourist. Now, Mr. Bear tries to show then how to survive and to find a way back to civilization. That's the concept. And the question is, does Bear fail? No, not in the TV show. Whenever he tries, wherever he goes, he always survives and finds a way back to the city anywhere. Mr. Bear always wins the game over Wild. Now, while I was watching this program, I thought about the following question. How about God versus man? Is it possible for you and me and us to fight against God? Is it possible for us to have a war against God? Or have you stood against God and His Word, Holy Word? Now, one time our poor prophet Jonah stood against God and His command. Now, God told him to go to Nineveh in Jonah chapter 1. We didn't read that one. But as a prophet, God's a speaks person, there was no choice for him. That's clear. Jonah had to go to Nineveh. But interestingly, Jonah didn't obey God. That's the beginning in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah's strategy to make war against God was very simple. To run away from God. Run away from God. And he did his best to run away from God's presence. Run as far as from God. Run away as fast as he could in the opposite direction. Then God sent a great storm upon the ship. Yet Jonah went a deep sleep and sleeping. He closed his ears. He completely ignored God's command and his speaking to him, even using the nature and sea and storm. Definitely, he declared war against God. The question is, Jonah and versus God, did Jonah win? The answer is no. Yes, he tried, but unfortunately, he failed. He could not win the game. It was nonsense to say God versus Jonah. Against God, no one can win. We know that. So Jonah learned a great lesson. While he was inside a big fish for 3 days and three nights, obedience to God. And after taking some private lessons from God, finally Jonah obeyed God and went to the great city, Nineveh, to preach good news. The good news in chapter 3, that's previous chapter. What a great story up to here, chapter 1 and 2 and 3. A stubborn prophet repented of his sin and proclaimed the word of God. That's fascinating. However, the story does not end here. The prophet Jonah challenged God again in chapter 4 that we just read. Jonah declared the second round of God versus Jonah. That is starting 1, verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Now, when I read this verse, two words caught my eyes, displeased and angry. Why was he so angry? What happened to him? The reason is found in chapter 3, and verse 10. I think lastly he read it. When God saw that they did, which means they repented, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Now we have to stop here and think carefully about the story again. Jonah was displeased, not happy, and he was very angry because God did not bring the destruction upon the Ninevites. That's very simple. Jonah was not just displeased with God, but our text clearly says he was greatly, exceedingly displeased. How can you say it? How could you be greatly displeased with God? How could you become angry with God? Did God do something wrong to Jonah? If you read 1, 2, 3, no. We all know the story, right? While Jonah deserved God's punishment, God did not punish him. Rather, God saved his life. Then why? Why was Jonah not happy with God? Now, Jonah's explanation, and Jonah explains why he was angry in verse 2 today. He says, very interesting text, verse 2, Jonah said, "O Lord, is it not why I said when I was still at home?" He is trying to explain what happened in chapter 1. "That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish." Jonah knew something about God. "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Basically, this is what Jonah wants to say. "God, I know I'm very angry and greatly displeased with you because of your grace, compassion, and love toward the Ninevites, my enemy. Then I knew that you were going to save them. That's why I tried to run away from you." Then, question is, let's talk about Jonah a little bit. Wasn't it Jonah who received God's abundant grace while he sinned against God? Wasn't it Jonah who received God's unlimited love, forgiveness, while he deserved God's punishment? Was it Jonah who received God's compassion while he was not even qualified as a prophet? But he grumbles against God and God's love and God's grace for the Ninevites here at chapter 4. Did he have any right to grumble against God? Now, Jonah's complaint did not stop here. It's really shocking. But he added one more shocking statement at the end of his prayer. He said, verse 3, "Now, O Lord, take away my life. For it is better for me to die and than to live." Now he wants to die. Make sense? No. From his words, we know that he was very angry at God. What was wrong with him? The Assyrians were Israel's worst enemy in history. So Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. So Jonah's logic was simple. Since the Ninevites were Jonah's enemy, his people's enemy, God must completely destroy them without mercy. That's his logic. God had to send fire and brimstone upon the city. That is right. Please, God, destroy that city. Jonah wanted God to judge the Ninevites. Jonah wanted God to completely destroy the city. But unfortunately, God did not give what the prophet Jonah wanted. Rather, God showed his grace and mercy upon the Ninevites when they repented of their sins. God forgave them. That's why our poor prophet Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry with God. What a selfish prophet. Aren't we just like a Jonah sometimes? We are the people, you and me, we are the people who received God's compassion. We receive God's compassion every day. We are the people whom God loves so much. We are the people who receive the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But to be honest with you, sometimes if God does not give us what we want, what we need, it's time for us to complain. Like Jonah, we easily forget the greatness of God's love and grace upon our lives. We simply forget how much God has blessed us. Like Jonah, aren't we selfish Christians? It's all about me. Not about our neighbors, church, and mission. Jonah was a selfish prophet because he did not care about God's mercy and grace, but only himself. Jonah was a selfish prophet because he wanted God to destroy the Ninevites, his enemy. He did not care about what God has. He did not want to share God's forgiveness with other people. Jonah was a selfish prophet Because he set up his own plans, Jonah completely ignored God's plans in his life. In Jonah chapter 1, 2, 3, even 4. Jonah was a selfish prophet because he wanted to see what he wanted to see. He had his own time clock ticking, ticking. But yet, he did not care about God's time and God's plan. But interestingly, we see that we find ourselves in his life. Now we wonder how God replied to Jonah's challenge and his selfish behavior. How God replied to Jonah's grumbling and complaining, never-ending story. It looks like God has to angry at them. Did God get angry? Did he punish Jonah? God has to punish him. But interestingly, God did not become angry at Jonah at all. Rather, God asked Jonah a simple question in chapter 4, verse 4. God said, Have you any right to angry? Now, it's a really hard question to answer. It's a really difficult question. While Jonah was so unhappy with God, while he was, you know, not happy, Jonah became angry at God. Our God tried to remind him, Jonah, remind him of his great love, grace upon Jonah's life by asking this simple question. Have you any right to angry? God's question to Jonah was very short, but it was powerful enough for Jonah to make him to think about God's love and grace upon his life again. He was absolutely rebellious. Therefore, when God said, this is a right sin if we have to think about it. When God said, Jonah, have you any right to angry? Do you have any right? Jonah must have remembered and he had what God has done for him. And Jonah has remembered what he had done. He was rebellious. He was ignorant. He was disrespectful to the word of God. And he was completely disobedient to God. Yes, Jonah deserved God's punishment. However, our gracious God did not punish him. God spared Jonah's life. God saved him. Then question is, did Jonah really think about it and remember God's grace and love for him again? Well, I don't think so. That's what happened to Jonah and God after God's question. It's verse 5. It says, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should be what would become of the city. This is not logical after reading this one. What is he trying to do? In verse 4, once again, we see Jonah's weird and strange reaction to God. Jonah went out and set up a shelter to watch the destruction of the city in Nineveh. The problem is this. Jonah already knew that God would not destroy the city of Nineveh. God clearly showed him that what he would do for the Ninevites, forgive them. God decided not to destroy the city of Nineveh because of they repented of their sins before God. Now, Jonah knew God's plan. But the prophet Jonah could not accept that. Rather, he still wanted God to destroy the city of Nineveh, so he went out. He could not give up what he wanted. That's why he set up a shelter on a hill to watch the destruction of the city. Seems to me, Jonah never gave up to challenge God. It seems to me that Jonah tried to declare the third round of God versus Jonah again. In the first round, Jonah completely disobeyed God. That's chapter 1. Yet God saved Jonah's life, forgave him. In the second round, although Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry, In chapter 4, God tenderly helped Jonah to remember God's grace and love and everything upon his life. Now, in the third round, Jonah ignored God again and he stood against God's will and his plan. He was a seriously rebellious. He was the one stubborn prophet, never changing. He could not simply give up what he wanted. It's really shocking. What would you do if your children are so rebellious or sometimes stubborn? What would you do if your children challenge you? God and grace. You probably give them teaching or punishment. As I read chapter 4 again and again, I was surprised how God responded to Jonah, because God did not punish Jonah at all. God is different. Although Jonah was so stubborn, and although Jonah challenged God again and again, our gracious God did not punish him. God did not give up on Jonah. Rather, God decided to teach Jonah again about God's grace. In verse 6, God says, "Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort." So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Another interesting text verse. To help your understanding about Jonah's situation at the time, I should talk to you about a summer temperature in the Middle East. The summer temperature in the Middle East would be around 113 degrees in Fahrenheit. If the daytime temperature reaches 113 degrees, usually the surface of the ground can become like as hot as 140 degrees. Now, therefore, if there is no shade during the daytime, it will be extremely difficult for Jonah to stay and to watch what's happening to the city under the scorching sun. So what do you think Jonah most needed in this harsh environment? No doubt, Jonah definitely needed a place of shade so that he can enjoy. He could hide his body from a deadly hot temperature. That's what he needed. Then another question is, did God know exactly what Jonah needed? Yes, God knew what Jonah needed most at the time. But there is a trick. So God provided a vine tree to give him a place of shade. Then, it is very interesting for us to read Jonah's reaction for God's love for him. Our Bible says, Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. There's no between for Jonah. Exceedingly angry or exceedingly happy. Remember, Jonah was greatly, greatly displeased. Became angry. Now Jonah is so happy. Did God give Jonah the vine tree to make him happy? I don't think so. There was something that God wanted to teach him through the vine tree. And God's special lecture is found in verse 7 and 8. It says, "But when dawn come up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it is withered. Now, when the sun rose next morning, God appointed a scorching east wind and the sun beating down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. So he asked that he might die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" Can you imagine? While the vine tree was over Jonah's head, he was so happy, not just happy, so happy about the vine tree. Then all of a sudden, God took the vine tree away from Jonah. And Jonah said again, "It will be better for me to die than to live." Sounds familiar, right? This is not the first time, but the second time that Jonah said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Seriously, what's wrong with him? He was one time so angry that he wanted to die. And he was so happy to enjoy his life. Now again, he's so angry that he wants to die. I am pretty sure Jonah is one of the worst prophets ever. Here. I'm sure that there are many good prophets out there. So that God can call them, use them, instead of this stubborn Jonah. But interestingly, God did not give up on Jonah. At verse 9, where God speaks and God and asked Jonah why he was so angry in verse 9, God said, "Do you well to be angry for the plant?" Now we know that God asked the same question in verse 4. This is the second time. "Do you well to be angry?" In verse 9, God added, "for the plant." I like NRSV's translation. It's like this. Jonah chapter 4:3, God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" God is asking, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now God asked the same question twice in chapter 4, not because he was so angry at Jonah, but God wanted to teach Jonah about God, who God is. God is the God of sovereignty, the sovereignty of God. It was God's decision to call Jonah as his prophet. It's not Jonah's decision. It was God's decision to save Jonah from the sea when he was trying to die. It was God's decision to punish the Ninevites or not. It's not Jonah's decision. It was God's decision to take the plant away from Jonah. It's not God. God is handling everything. Jonah's story is not about Jonah or somebody else, but it's all about the sovereign God who created the world and sustaining all the world right now with his almighty salvation plan. Therefore, with God's question, Jonah did not have any right to be angry, period. That's God's lesson from Jonah's chapter 4. As a prophet, Jonah's job was simply to go and deliver the word of God to people. That's it. Therefore, when God asks the same question twice, "It is right for you to be angry. It is right for you to be angry." Jonah had to think and realize that God was the one who can save and perish his life. Therefore, logically speaking, Jonah had to repent of his sin. "Ah, Lord, I am really sorry. Forgive my sin. I misunderstood you." But shockingly, one more time, Jonah did not stop arguing with God. So brave. I don't want to do that. But he was so brave. When God asked, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" Jonah said, verse 9, it's shocking, verse 2. Jonah said, "Yes! Yes, angry enough to die." This is the third time for Jonah using death. Jonah saying, "I want to die because I was upset with you, God. I'm not happy with you." To be honest with you, God did not need a stubborn prophet like Jonah. He didn't need him at all. God had the right to be angry with Jonah. Jonah was not listening at all. Jonah, who was very selfish and very childish and unrepented to the end, and who was so unfaithful to God's command, he was not qualified at all to do the job as a prophet. Surely he deserved God's punishment. But strangely, God did not take Jonah's life away. Rather, God spared his life from his God's wrath. From Jonah's story, we think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah's story reminds us of the story of Jesus Christ. We are very selfish, aren't we? And we are unrepentant to the end. We don't do that. We are unfaithful to God's command so many times, including me. We're not qualified to be saved, not qualified to the work of God. I am pretty sure I am not qualified. God did not need stubborn and ignorant people like Jonah and like us. And God, He has the right to be angry with all the sinners. Surely you and I, we deserve God's punishment. However, God did not punish you and me. He did not give up on us. When we run away from God, God brings us back to Himself with His love and mercy. When we are so angry at Him, God tenderly speaks to us and comforts us with the Word of God. Although our sin is great, God's grace is greater than all of our sins. Christ died on the cross for us. As Paul says, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is what God said when Jonah was still angry with him. Verse 10 and 11. When the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It became into being in a night and perished in a night." Verse 11. "And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who did not know their right hand and from their left, and also many animals?" I read NRSV version. Unfortunately, there is no Jonah chapter 5. It's interesting. Chapter 4 ends with a question. We don't know how Jonah answered God's question. Maybe he got angry again. Maybe he decided to run away one more time. "I don't care, God. If you want to do it, you do it. I'll go home. Don't bother me." Maybe he repented of his sin because God reminded him of His grace all the time through his life. We don't know. But we know one thing, however. We know one thing. Now we have to answer God's question in chapter 4. It is our call to answer God's question. The book of Jonah ends with God's hard question for all of us. It is our call to share the gospel because there are many people in this town and world who do not know their right from their left. Many people who do not know Christ. What are you going to do with them? God is asking you, "I'm really taking care of them. What are you going to do?" As God showed His compassion to you and me, as God showed His compassion and love to Jonah's life, now it's our time, it's our call to share the love of Jesus Christ, to share the love of God in Christ with our neighbors, co-workers, friends, and many other people. Are you answering God's question? The book of Jonah begins like this in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Rise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" We have the same words from Jesus Christ, Matthew 28, verse 18, 20. We read called confession today. "All authority in heaven and earth has given to me." Verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is your answer for this divine call? Do we know that God is really caring for His people? Do we really know that God wants us to go out to share the love of God? But our tendency, maybe probably including me, it's really hard to go out and talking about Jesus Christ. When I was at Calvin, I don't know, maybe I told you already, but I couldn't hold my mind and clear my mind this week. When I was at Calvin, I shared my room with my roommate. He's a Dutch guy. He's tall, he's really tall. He asked me, "Hey James, would you please remove your kimchi jar from my refrigerator?" He said kindly, not just. So I asked him why, and he told me, "Your kimchi smell penetrates my bread, my lettuce, my milk. Even milk tastes like kimchi. Everything inside kimchi." So I left, like you, I just removed, and I went to Alaska, right? And probably I was not prepared to go out, knock on the door, bring all the kids and young people to church. But I learned one thing. It's not me. My job is just like a bring the kimchi to people. The Holy Spirit is the one penetrating people's hearts, bring them to the Lord. I learned that. From chapter 4, God is telling Jonah, "I'm really taking care of my people, my people here who don't know Christ." And He's calling you. Jesus Christ is calling you. Now go and make disciples. What is your answer? Are you ready to go to the world and sharing God's love? Or are you ready to make disciples of all nations? Or are you ready to run away? I want to finish my sermon with my question. Are we ready to run away? Really? We have to think about this question this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jonah's life. Carefully looking at Jonah's life, we see that it's about us. Ignorant, disobedience, and complaining so many things, and grumbling. And always we want what we want. We don't care about your wills and plans. We are not qualified. Maybe we are qualified to be judged by your law and by your love. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that now is the time for us to hold the Bible and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who will penetrate the hearts of the people, not us. Would you please use us as your instruments? We don't want to run away, but we want to go to you, and we want to go to the world with your almighty power. Help us, we pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.